Did taxpayers get a good deal after bailing out General Motors?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. GM today said when it starts trading its stock in New York this week, it'll fetch between $32 and $33 a share. That is higher than earlier expected. That's going to net taxpayers billions of dollars after the government bailed out the troubled Detroit automaker during the height of the financial crisis. Apple says it is news that people will never forget, that a longtime holdout is finally going to start selling songs on Apple's iTunes Music Store. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith is with us live from our New York studio to talk about what all the chatter is about. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning, Steve.
So don't keep us waiting. Which band are we talking about here?
Well, Steve, it's a band that has a long history with Apple.
You say yes, I say no.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. They've been locked in lawsuits with Apple since 1978, when the band sued Apple over its name and logo.
Now, that's what kept the Beatles out of the world's biggest music store?
Well, that and the fact the Beatles don't really need iTunes. They are the world's best-selling band. Last year, they had the third best-selling album in the U.S. Mm. And EMI, the Beatles record label, makes a lot more money selling CDs than they will selling digital songs.
So, Stacey, if it's not about money, what's in it for EMI?
Well, actually, I put that question to Robert Thompson at Syracuse University.
It's about getting this music available in ways that many people are now getting their music. I mean, I've got students that have never bought a CD in their entire life.
But it is about money for iTunes, right? Or is it?
Well, yes and no. Here's Robert Thompson again.
Not having the Beatles was always, of course, a kind of big symbolic gap as well as a financial one. It would be like the world's greatest bookstore, but you couldn't sell Shakespeare in it.
So, all right, everybody wins then?
Well, no, you know, never. Beatles cover bands were making a mint on iTunes, and they're probably not too happy that Beatles and iTunes have come
One of my favorites, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith in New York. Stacey, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are lower right now for the most part, off anywhere from 0.5% to, more than 1% right now. The S&P off 1%, and the same for the NASDAQ. The Dow down 122 points at 11,079. European shares are down more than 1%, same for Asia. Investors still worried Ireland may require a European bailout. Walmart today said its profits rose for the last 3 months, but sales at stores open at least a year fell by more than 1%. Net income at Saks was up in the last quarter, and Home Depot net income rose as well. Gasoline prices kept overall costs to consumers higher. The Producer Price Index, what we know as the PPI, which tracks inflation, rose for a fourth straight month.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
A new study in the current issue of the Journal of Marketing says brand names mean so much to consumers, they'll go to great lengths to afford them. Joe Priester is one of the authors of the study. He's associate professor of marketing at the Marshall School of Business at the University of Southern California. Professor, thanks for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Steve.
I got to tell you, I love Frosted Flakes. I've eaten them since I was a kid. Why did I become enamored with that particular brand?
Well, my guess is that it's enmeshed with a lot of other experiences and memories. You not only like Frosted Flakes, but you sort of consider it a part of yourself, and you probably think about it unprompted.
I can remember when I was a poor college student and mom and dad didn't have the money to buy my Frosted Flakes anymore, and I saved a couple bucks by buying the generic brand.
And then when you had money again, did you stick with the generic?
I started buying the brand again.
Just like the thought of losing or not having our good friends around can sort of lead to this emotional distress, what's interesting is that brands can prompt exactly the same kind of thing.
What was your brand?
If I have a Starbucks in my hand in the morning, I sort of feel secure and I can take on the world.
Dating back a long time?
Oh, it reminds me back when I was in New York and I'd be walking to the subway in the snow and to have that Starbucks. It was sort of a nice memory in time.
I know it may sound like we've got the Kellogg's cereal company and Starbucks coffee company and, you know, the representatives are right outside of the door. But I can tell you that this is pertinent information because these guys are taking a look at this information and saying, wait.
Well, in a way, this becomes the new target. For businesses to really be exceptional and to really excel, it's not just how do I get them to like us, but what can we do to really provide something that makes it really meaningful and part of the person.
Today, there obviously is a lot of hardship, economic hardship, high unemployment, a lot of people cutting corners. Is that making any kind of difference?
That's when this brand attachment really becomes important. Because if times aren't tough and you have more resources, then you can be buying all sorts of brands. But when you start to having to cut back, I think that there's a differential in how you cut back. So it's the brands that you're really attached with. Those are the ones you'll try to hang on to as long as you can. Whereas the brands that you simply like, those are easy to substitute.
Joe Priester, Associate Professor of Marketing at USC's Marshall School of Business. Joe, thanks.
Hey, Steve, it's a pleasure.
And finally, a business professor at Harvard has taken to Hollywood to teach students about the difficulties of entrepreneurship. Noam Wasserman uses clips of television shows and movies, like this one from the film Jerry Maguire. After Maguire gets fired from his sports agency job, he asks other employees to come with him to start a new business.
What if you could combine the excitement of a big win?
Wasserman also cites an old episode of Different Strokes, where Arnold goes into the bug spray business with his stepbrother. Check us out online at marketplace.org. You can find the podcast there, grab it, and also look at the numbers, too, and share your thoughts with us, marketplace.org. And you can follow me on Twitter at CHIOMMR. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
What if you could combine the excitement of a big win playing Lotto with the practicality of just putting all that money in the bank?
We're giving them an opportunity to redirect that behavior that, frankly, most of us enjoy, the opportunity for a game of chance, the opportunity to win a prize. We're redirecting that to something really constructive.
I'm Kai Rizdal, making banking fun next time on Freakonomics Radio. It's on Marketplace from American Public Media.